But you lived. Aaron didn't find out until a few months ago, and he doesn't like leaving anything unfinished. So he made a few calls and had you recruited to Malum. General Nolan owed him a favor, and he promised you'd be safe with us. Aaron wanted to use you as insurance to protect me. My voice seems so loud, even though I'm speaking just above a whisper. Bunny writhes against her restraints, murder in her gaze. She wants to kill me, and part of me wishes she would. You motherfucker! She tries to kick me, but I stand before she can land a blow. Did you know who I was the night we met? My fists clench at my sides. No! I swear I didn't know who you were. Aaron did, but he didn't tell me until I stormed into his room that night after we... Her eyes are golden pits of fury. You should have killed me, because I'll never look at you the same. I'm sorry. My gut twists at how choked up I sound. What use is an apology now? Insurance from who? Who's fucking after you two? I don't know. The truth. Her eyes narrow with doubt. There are things Aaron even keeps from me, Bun. My brother has made an enemy that actually keeps him up at night. I've never pressed him on it. He'd never tell me anyway. She thinks for a long time in silence, until the sun sets and our clothes have partially dried. I get dressed and help her with her clothes before binding her wrists again. We leave the cave and walk for hours in the direction of the second bunker. She's quiet for so long that it startles me when she finally speaks. The only good riot soldier is a dead one, she says coldly, in the exact tone as I used before. Guilt settles like a beast in my chest. There are no words I can say that will bring her comfort. You two are the reason my squad is dead. I face her, my blood hot. No, I'm not. My brother maybe, but not me. Her eyes soften a moment before she swallows and gives me a regretful smile. A black bullet killed Abram. Her voice breaks. I stare at her. Why is she bringing that up? Her eyes pool with tears. Guilt and sorrow twist her features. My eyes slowly widen and my chest constricts. I open my mouth and then shut it. She doesn't know what she's saying, because if she's saying that... It was me. I shot him. The blood leaves my head, and all I can do is look at her. I was aiming for you. Bunny lets her shoulders fall in defeat. Her admittance is like a shot to my nervous system. She killed him. Abram's last breaths resurface in my memory, his fading light, the blood. She took him from me. I wrap my hands around her neck and she doesn't fight against it. Tears fall silently down my cheeks. What have you done? I whisper shakily. Her eyes are dull.
I felt nothing. I was upset that I didn't hit you.
My hands tighten around her flesh and my jaw trembles. Her eyes flinch at the pressure. Why? I ask. And it's so quiet and broken, it makes her eyes narrow in anguish. Did Aaron know that it was her?
I was following orders, she chokes out.
Who gave her those orders? Her body slumps and I guide her down to her knees. I can feel each strangled breath she sips as they flutter beneath my palms, my brows pinched together with despair. Why would you tell me? Her eyes dim, and she fucking smiles. It shatters my heart, and my hands loosen, trembling. She mutters,
I didn't know the weight of taking life. Not until Jenkins died. Not until I met you. I wanted to tell you earlier.
Her lips are dry and chapped, smeared with black paint.
I'm sorry, Bradshaw.
My resolve breaks. I release her and put space between us. My breathing is erratic, and I feel like I'm 2 seconds from having a heart attack. I clench my hand over my chest. It hurts so fucking bad. I can't hate her. No matter how much I want to, even for taking Abram. And that tears my soul apart.
30. Now. Bradshaw walks away from me. For some reason, him not finishing me off triggers something deep inside me. It shouldn't be hard for him to finish me. Everyone would understand. I push myself up and press my bound palms into the dirt. Why won't you fucking kill me? I've given you every reason. I've taken everything from you, Bradshaw. Everything! I scream at him, tears streaming down my face and making his form blurry. He stops and fists his hands at his sides.
You want me to kill you? You really want me to?
His voice grows louder with each word, and he turns back to look at me. His eyes are rimmed with red, and his features are contorted with misery. Please, please, Bradshaw, please just make it stop. I beg him and let my head hang. He walks back to me and falls to his knees before me. His hands fall on my shoulders, and he shakes me until I look up at him. His blue eyes pierce through me. I expect him to yell at me, but his voice is a whisper.
Who taught you to beg for death just because you were a device?
My eyes widen and my lips part.
No. I know it wasn't personal. I know you were just going through the motions.
He hiccups and reels back his emotions, tears still forming.
So why would I punish you? You're just the weapon fired, not the evil that wields it.
A sob bubbles up in my throat, and I try to swallow it. I destroy everything I touch. I'm the last riot soldier. I grab the hilt of his combat knife, slide it out of the sheath, and place it in his hand. I'm tired of being the weapon. I'm tired of killing. I want to be free. Make me a good riot and kill me. Then maybe my sins will be absolved. I shut my weary eyes and focus on his breaths. His knife grazes the side of my cheek and beckons me to look at him.
Would you kill me if I took Jenkins from you? Tell me you would, and I'll give you what you want, Bun. But don't you dare fucking lie to me. Would you watch the light leave my flesh? Would you send the devil back to hell?
His gaze is smooth and doesn't falter. He searches my eyes for the truth. My chin tilts up with my reluctance. Never. I could never. Not you. Because you make me feel things I've never experienced before. I could never hurt you. I could never let you go. He pulls the blade away slowly, letting it glide across my face before sheathing it. Our eyes don't bend away from each other once.
I'm so mad at you, Bun. But if you think I'd ever risk losing you.
He shakes his head and pulls me in tightly, wrapping those corded arms around me and squeezing tight. He holds me like every fiber of his being relies on it. His hands tenderly smooth over my skin and draw fire over the bruises around my throat.
What have we let the world do to us, Bun?
He murmurs in a low, heady voice. It slips into my veins, and I let the softness of it comfort me. We let them make monsters of us. Stolen vices. He pulls me back and stares into my eyes. His hot breath plumes around us in the cold air.
I don't think I can keep doing this,
he says slowly. My brows pinch together.
I don't think I can continue being Bones. Because Bones is heartless and ruthless. But ever since meeting you, I've been anything but those things. When I look at you, I feel like my thoughts are no longer blurry. This dark underworld I reign in doesn't have to be the one I die in.
He feels that way? My eyes lower and linger on his lips. Even after the things I've done.
I want a world with you.
I flinch and pull back until we're staring into each other's eyes.
When I saw you wearing that dress, it broke my heart. I saw what you could have been. I want you to wear whatever the fuck you want and be a normal person, not out here with bullets flying between us. I want us to be out there in the real world.
Bradshaw brushes the wild strands of hair behind my ear. Do you think we could make it out? My voice is quiet, but his sad, boyish smile melts the ice around my soul.
Together, our broken pieces can do anything.
By the time we get to the bunker coordinates, the sun is already starting to come back up over the far mountains. I hold on to the hope that there will be a shower inside and a few beds. My eyes are heavy when they lift to Bradshaw as he tries a few different codes on the bunker hatch. It's a partially hidden metal door that's camouflaged to match the dark green underbrush. The mountains crowd this area and make it inconspicuous. A river can be seen down in the valley below, giving me a sense of where we are geographically. I memorized the map Aaron showed us. The rivers were the key to most of the landmarks. We haven't spoken in hours. There really isn't anything to say. We've both done terrible things for awful people, and that darkness consumes the air between us. The latch finally beeps, and Bradshaw lets out a relieved sigh as the door unlocks. He lifts the hatch and hesitates before he looks up at me. He opens his mouth to say something, but closes it just as quickly before looking away. It's almost like we don't know how to talk to each other anymore. I close the distance between us and take the steps down the long ladder. It's dark for the first 5 steps, and then a sensor picks up my motion and fluorescent lights flicker on slowly. The ladder leads into a large open area. The walls are made up of big white metal slats with bolts engineered into the edges, keeping them all lined up. Cots fill the sleeping side, enough for 6 people, and only 1 door lies at the end of the space. I'm assuming it's a bathroom. Opposite of the cots are small cabinets and a black table. It's simple and bare minimum for a bunker. I hope there's food in the cupboards. Being in this confined space makes my chest constrict. There's only 1 way in or out of this bunker. My eyes lift to Bradshaw as he closes the hatch and locks it. There's a keypad on the inside as well, but he's the only one who knows the password. Shit, maybe I should have been paying more attention when he was inputting codes. I watch him descend the ladder, and he takes in the space like I did. How did Aaron know these were here? I ask. His jaw ticks as he notices nothing about this bunker is military grade. It was put here for hiding purposes by someone powerful and well-prepared. Someone paranoid. The ghosts, I'm sure. He turns and looks over his shoulder at me.
I don't know.
At least tell me what the code was. It's not like I actually expect him to tell me, but the long frown he gives me still burns.
You don't need to know it, he mutters.
And why is that? I eye him callously.
It guarantees my safety.
I scoff. From what? He levels me a broken stare.
From you betraying me.
The shock must roll through my features dramatically, because he forces his eyes away. He really thinks I would? I guess our secrets catch up to us. I can't say I'd tell him what the code was if our predicaments were reversed. The fight goes out of me with a pained breath. Fair enough. You think there's a shower here?
There should be.
He sits on one of the cots and lets his legs slide against the tile until they're relaxed and spread apart.
You go ahead and shower first.
I study him as he brings his hands to his head and ruffles his hair with distress. There are a million things I wish I could say. A million and one I wish I could take back. But I don't say anything. I let the sorrow grow between us and head to the bathroom. It's surprisingly spacious, but its only contents are a toilet, sink, and a round porcelain tub. One wall is entirely made up of a mirror. The fluorescent lights make a humming sound and brighten the room to the point where I can see every red stain on my skin. The soldier I see in the mirror looks fractured. My eyes are bloodshot, and my braid is ratted with forest debris. I let my focus linger on the bruises around my throat. It's funny that the same woman in the mirror was wearing a cute yellow dress a couple weeks ago. Did Aaron feel bad about recruiting me? Why would he befriend me if this is how he was intending to throw me away? I start to strip slowly. My body aches, and each movement requires a tremendous amount of energy. It takes me a few minutes to get completely naked. Once I am, I hesitantly look back at my body. There are more bruises than there aren't. More skin that's scabbed, scarred, or bruised than not. I take myself in and wonder why I don't feel anything when I see the broken person staring back. Nothing can be done about the past. I scrub the blood and dirt from my skin and hair like I can absolve my sins this way. Like I can wash Abram from my hands. I have to drain the water for a second bath before I can soak. But as I do, I go over Bradshaw's story repeatedly. Aaron knew who I was on the plane. Is that why he took my window seat? Forcing conversation. But he was always so kind to me. I let him touch me. A chill sets in my bones at the thought of him knowing what my fate held this entire time. How conniving he was. I drain the water and dry my hair, deciding to leave my gear off and wash it after Bradshaw cleans up. There is a stack of white folded shirts in the corner shelf next to a single wardrobe that's much too tidy for my liking. As if someone frequents this place. We'll have to leave here once we rest up. I'd hate to be in the bunker with only one exit if someone returns. The shirt falls down to my ass, and I change out to a dry pair of socks. I expect to find Bradshaw still sitting on the cots when I finally emerge from the bathroom. But he's not there anymore. My heart rate spikes, and I make for the ladder. He wouldn't lock me in here. He wouldn't. But as I look up at the metal door with a red light staring back at me, my hope fizzles out.
What the fuck are you doing?
I whirl, eyes finding him at the opposite end of the room, opening some canned food from the cabinets. My breath comes back to me, and I try to slow it to steady my pulse. I thought you left me down here. My voice is shaky. He narrows his eyes at me before waving me over. He already has a few cans opened and hands me one with preserved apples inside. The scent reaches me first. Cinnamon and tart. My stomach growls and my mouth waters. It's easy to forget your hunger when you're on a mission. I take it and the plastic fork he hands me, looking between him and the food before reluctantly biting into the soft apples and closing my eyes with the flavor.
Can we call a truce now?
He asks haphazardly as he starts shoveling apples into his mouth, too. I swallow and laugh. You think a can of apples can fix what we've done to each other? He continues eating as he considers me.
Why not?
His eyes are red and drift hesitantly down my body.
Jesus, Bun, you're all banged up.
I grab the end of the white shirt and try pulling it over more of my bruised thighs. I'm fine.
You call this fine?
He sets down his can and reaches for one of my legs. I swat his hand away. Yes? Bradshaw raises a brow, but drops it as he grabs my leg and slides me closer to him until I'm practically in his lap.
How was the shower?
He mutters mindlessly as he runs his fingertips over my skin, sending heat to my core. It's only a bathtub, no showerhead. I set my can down and prop my arms up behind me. I don't know why I'm letting him touch me like this, but it's the only thing that doesn't make me feel absolutely nothing. So I accept the comfort for what it is. He groans and mutters,
"Great."
His hands slide up an inch from my panties, and he stops and looks up to my face. Bradshaw's eyes are pale oceans I could drift into for the rest of time. He gently touches my chin and presses his forehead to mine. He takes a breath, swallowing before whispering with a raspy voice,
"I forgive you for Abram."
I jolt and try to push away, but Bradshaw only opens his eyes and stares into my soul with weary thoughts and forgotten sins.
"All I want is to be by your side, in training, in war, in death. I can't picture myself anymore without you being there, Bun. You linger in my thoughts, in my fears. But mostly, you're the cause of all the emotions I feel again. I was dead until you tripped on my foot on the plane."
Tears form in my eyes. They burn as I hold them back. "You don't get to forgive me, Bradshaw." My voice trembles. I'm not sure if it's because I can't forgive myself for it, or if it's because he's partly to blame for Jenkins' death. But if I sit on it long enough, I know deep down that I forgive him, too. He keeps me close against his chest and shushes me.
"I'm sorry, Bun. I can't help how my heart feels. The only thing I know is that I cannot lose you."
He presses a long kiss to the top of my head, and I go limp in his arms.
"And if you think I'm ever letting you go, you're wrong. You're mine as much as I'm yours."
He leaves me with that, slowly slipping from beneath me and heading to the bathroom to bathe. I don't move from my spot on the floor until he's been in the bathroom for 10 minutes. When I get up and pass the door, I glance at the opening and see Bradshaw's naked form. He's covered in fresh wounds, some still bleeding. His back is covered in long scars, old bullet wounds, bruises, and gashes. The area around his ribs is especially purple. The sight of it makes my chest twist. He must have at least a few broken ribs. His tattoos hide a lot of things, but they can't hide how hurt he is. Bradshaw must sense me staring because he looks over his shoulder and our eyes connect. My cheeks flush and I swiftly avert my eyes and march to the cot closest to the wall. It feels like hours pass, but by the time Bradshaw comes out of the bathroom, it's only been 30 minutes. He settles on the cot beside me, wearing a matching white shirt, which he fits in much better than I do, and his briefs. Now that his skin is clean, I can make out all the damage beneath, and it's heartbreaking. This must be how he felt seeing me, even though I felt nothing for my own pain when I saw it in the mirror. I sit up and look at the sutures on his leg. He scrubbed it well and reapplied ointment. At least it doesn't look like it's getting infected.
Aaron told me you wanted to have a coffee shop. Was that always something you dreamed of?
I look up at him. His head is propped up with his arms folded behind his head for support. From this position, his biceps are flexed, and it makes that white shirt rise enough that I can see his V-shaped muscles at the waistband of his boxers. He gives me a relaxed smile.
Are you checking me out, bun?
He chuckles, and my brows draw together quickly. No, I wasn't. He lifts one of his arms for me and beckons me to come to him. You're mine, as much as I'm yours. My throat bobs. What I feel for Bradshaw is dangerously close to love. I consider not going to lay across that rigid, corded torso and letting him hold me. But my heart shifts on an entirely different axis than my brain and wins the battle. Tentatively, I slide my palm into his, and a gentle smile forms on his lips. He looks so tired. I'm not sure he got any rest while we were in the cave. Bradshaw guides me down beside him. I rest my head on his bicep and close my eyes as he wraps his arm around me.
The coffee shop, bun. Tell me about it,
he whispers drowsily. I smile. Well, it wouldn't just be a coffee shop.
Oh?
Yeah. It would be a bookstore, too. And my husband and I would live on the top floor. His abs flex with the mention of a husband. I ignore the fact that I just pictured Bradshaw in that role. I try not to dwell on it, but the more I think of the apartment above the shop, the more I only see him. All his imperfections. He wouldn't be hurt anymore. No more bullets to pierce his lovely flesh. No more blood. My cheeks burn with a memory of him making me clean off my blood from his cock.
You wanted to get married.
His voice sounds almost remorseful. At one point in my youth, I did. But life has a way of taking what you desire and shoving it down a garbage disposal. He laughs at that, and I cling to the feeling it gives me. Lightness. I'm able to breathe. How about you? Were there any dreams in a younger Bradshaw? His thumb gently coasts over my arm as he thinks.
I always wanted a family, but I knew I'd never get one. Not with the way I am and the underground world that my brother and I fell into. I wouldn't be a good father.
My chin lifts so I can look into his eyes. He doesn't break his stare from the ceiling. His thumb just continues to stroke my skin slowly. Are you lonely? I ask, knowing the desire for family but fearing it because of the way I am. It'd be impossible. He chuckles sadly.
I wasn't.
His voice has an implying lilt. Bradshaw shifts to his side so he's facing me.
But after you, I feel lonely whenever you're not around.
His eyes are like ice shards straight into my heart. Does he really feel that way? I can sense myself withdrawing and ready to end the conversation because it's getting too personal. But each time I think I can slip away, he pulls me right back with that smile. We should think about what our plan is. We can't stay here long. I change the subject. If he notices, he doesn't make it known. He nods and lets his head fall to the side so his lips touch my head.
Let's get some sleep first.
I'm fading fast. Although sleep finds him quickly, I'm left staring at the ladder that leads up. The motion sensors cut out at some point and plunge us into darkness. 31. Nell. Bradshaw kneels beside me as we scrub our uniforms free of the excess blood and mud. Normally, I wouldn't care too much about the dirty gear, but with the rain and stickiness of the blood, the material is too stiff to perform well in. We've been sorting out ideas all afternoon, ranging from trying to regroup with the squad so Bradshaw can explain things to Aaron so he doesn't want me dead, to proceeding as planned with the mission and hopefully running into Malum there. That's stupid, I retort, drawing my jacket from the water and shaking it out. I hang it on the clothesline we crafted from the rope Bradshaw used to bind my wrists.
He'll listen to me, Bunny, he barks back.
He sounds much more like himself today. He got his fight and banter back with rest. So have I. Will he? Clearly, Aaron brought me here for a reason. I'm not sure he will. Bradshaw stops midway as he lifts his shirt over the clothesline and shoots me a glare.
We can't take the enemy fortress alone.
The exasperated breath I blow out has his jaw muscles feathering. Can't we? I'm going to find out who's trying to kill you and finish the mission. Once they're dead, I don't care what happens to me, with or without the Malum squad. He shakes his head.
Stop talking like that.
Why? Your brother won't let me live, and I'm not even close to getting my cards. I lower my head and stare at the bright tiles of the bathroom. The fluorescent lights flicker above. Bradshaw moves to stand in front of me.
And?
His voice is back to being cruel, and it makes me smile. So even if I come back from this mission, it's not like I can stay with you. They'll set you free while I remain a Dark Forces weapon. Fury flashes across his eyes and he tips my chin up so I meet his gaze.
You think I'd let them keep you here without me?
I hold his stare, steady and unmoving. I don't see what choice you have. I shove him back playfully, and he doesn't waste a second before he's backing me into the mirror wall. My skin burns with its icy sting. Bradshaw's eyes search mine desperately, a mix of emotions tangling inside him.
You almost sound like you want me to go without you.
He presses his palms against the mirror on either side of my head. I tilt my lips to his. What if I do? His brow arches, and he guides me away from the mirror by a few inches before he smashes his fist into it. The mirror shatters, and glass shards crash to the floor. When I stare into Bradshaw's eyes, only obsession burns there. He pushes his forehead against mine and pins my wrist to the wall. I don't fight him. I only stare back with the same lust and confusion eating my sanity away. He presses his knee between my thighs. Are you trying to scare me? It's not working, I whisper against his temple.
Trust me, if I wanted to scare you, you'd be scared. I'm only getting you excited,
he murmurs back, his warm breath on my lips. Then he kisses me. It's violent and passionate all at once. The pressure on my wrists increases and draws a mule from my lips. Bradshaw quickly devours the sound with his own deep groan. He coaxes my mouth open, and our tongues quickly tangle together fervently.
Fuck,
he moans into my mouth as he presses his groin to my core. His bulge sends an excited thrum through my entire body. He loosens his hold on my wrists and pulls me to the bench on the opposite wall. Wait, I gasp as he pushes me down on the bench and spreads my legs. I'm in nothing but the white oversized t-shirt and my undies. My hands come down over the shirt in a feeble attempt to cover my center. partly because I'm embarrassed by how wet I already am, and because we don't have time for this. We should be devising a plan to infiltrate the hostile base, not fighting and fucking and whatever it is we're doing. He looks up at me, dark strands of hair falling over his forehead, making my heart patter faster.
Wait for what? Don't tell me you're shy now. Does that mean you care about me, Bun?
His lip turns up and I shake my head. No, I mean, we don't have time, I babble, trying to find the words. He laughs as he pries my hands away from my shirt and sets them on the edge of the bench.
Baby, who cares? We have all the time we need.
I shudder as he slips my underwear to the side and strokes a finger through my wet slit. My thighs instantly try to close, but he catches my knee.
Now, I want you to think long and hard about who's eating you from the inside out while I lap you up. I want you screaming my name. I want you to be as possessive as I am of you.
His voice drips with lust. I'm already possessive of you, I want to shout over and over. But my pride won't let me. What does that say about me? How depraved and starved I am for a man like him? I guess I'm about to find out.
Stare into the mirror and watch me consume you. I won't stop until you're trembling in my arms.
He slips a mirror shard into my hand.
And I want you to punish me until you can forgive me for what I've done to you. For everything. I want you to make your mark on me, Bunny. Punish me so I can forgive me,
he begs in a low voice. The glass shard is as big as my combat knife. My eyes meet his as he dips closer to my core.
Eyes on the mirror. Watch me eat you. Watch yourself draw my blood.
What the fuck? Why am I so aroused by everything he says? Everything he does? I let my eyes focus on the reflection. My cheeks are red, my dark braid messy, and my eyes roll seductively. Bradshaw is on his knees before me. I find my voice. Strip naked, I command. He strokes his hot tongue up my center like an animal and removes his boxers at the same time. His obedience is new, and it makes his tongue teasing swirls around my clit all the more sensual. My back arches and I let out a moan. Bradshaw pulls away for only a second to take his shirt off before eagerly returning to my pussy like it's the best damn thing he's ever had. I'm aware I've seen this man naked, fucked him, and have had the absolute displeasure of being his second for countless hours. But this is different, and I can't seem to place why. The hard planes of his body are bare. His back muscles flex as he spreads me out and sucks on my clit. A jolt of pleasure and pain shoots up my stomach, and I writhe. But anger coils in my chest. I'm letting him pleasure me when only yesterday he was going to kill me. I put that glass shard he gave me to use, sitting up, fisting his hair, and shoving his face roughly into my center. He groans and grips my thighs as he pushes his tongue as far as it will go inside me. I suppress the moan and focus on pressing the edge of the glass into the middle of his back, between two long knife-like scars.
Carve me up,
he murmurs against my clit, before sucking in my sensitive flesh and making my vision blur with pleasure. My orgasm builds, and with sheer will alone, I keep it from climaxing as I cut into his flesh. Bright blood rolls down his back and deviates over the grooves in his hips before dripping to the tiles below. He grunts and fists his cock with one hand. This is for all the terrible things he did to me. This is for betraying me and humiliating me, for slicing my ribs and for choking me, for all the fucked up shit this evil man has done. But most of all, I do it because I forgive him, because I want to leave my mark on his skin forever like he did mine. I want to own him as much as he craves to dominate me. I cut the design until I'm satisfied, and the anger inside my chest is satiated, until I can't hold out any longer. The shard falls to the ground and clamors. Bradshaw shoves two fingers into me and rubs against my inner walls, flicking my clit with his hot tongue until I'm finally trembling with the orgasm. I brace both hands on his shoulders and cling for life as my hips buck involuntarily and I come all over his face. He strokes his tongue through my center over and over, devouring me and groaning. I watch through hooded eyes in the mirror. Bradshaw slowly moves up on me, kissing my hip bone and licking up my stomach and chest. His eyes slowly rise up to mine, and I bite my lower lip as need starts to build in my core again.
"You are where my sanity starts," he murmurs gravely, his jaw setting and brows knitting.
He hates to admit these things to me. That much is obvious, but it warms my chest that he shares it with me anyway.
"You are where mine ends," I whisper back.
His eyes soften as he leans up and kisses me. Our souls collide. He wraps his palm around the back of my head and coaxes my lips apart with his tongue, deepening the kiss. I let out a soft moan as he adorns me with his affection. His lips aren't demanding like before, not filled with animosity and rage. Each stroke of his tongue against mine is eager and curious, soft and longing. Bradshaw palms my breast and nudges my legs apart. I spread my thighs for him and he brings his hips to mine. His swollen cock is hot on my skin. Pre-cum beads at the tip and smears across my stomach as he wraps his arms around my lower back and lifts me up. My legs instinctively loop around his torso, and he chuckles darkly as his cock throbs between our flesh. I swallow hard.
"I like this shy side of you. It's cute."
Bradshaw nips at my lips and gives me a provocative raise of his brow. He carries me to the edge of the bathtub and turns on the water. Steam rolls as the tub fills, and my pulse steadily increases with each stroke of his thumb against my collarbone. "I'm not being shy." It comes out higher than my usual tone, and I die a little inside. He smiles warmly, and it hits me in the gut how sweet and unlike himself it is.
"It's okay, Bun. You can be yourself around me. You don't have to always be tough. Let your walls down for once."
He smooths his hand over my thigh as he positions himself at my entrance. My head falls back as he stretches my core with his dick. I brace my hands against the rim of the tub. He grabs my hips and buries his fingers into my flesh as he starts to pump into me. I cry out as he pushes to the hilt.
"That's it, baby. You take me in so fucking good. Does it feel good when I stretch you out?"
he says against my lips, thrusting into me at an agonizingly slow pace.
"Fuck yes,"
I mumble as I kiss him. He groans and sets a ruthless pace, gripping my ass and fucking me so hard my eyes start to water. My moans bounce on the walls of the metal-framed bunker. My pussy grips his cock tightly as I climax. My entire body seizes and I dig my nails into his shoulders. Bradshaw groans and picks up his pace, staring down at where we are joined together and making a fucking mess.
"You're going to take all my cum, and you better not spill a drop of it."
He grits his teeth together and the veins in his neck bulge. He ruts into me one final time, and the force of it almost pushes me into the tub filling with water. His dick throbs inside me, filling me with his hot seed. Bradshaw holds me tightly, our bodies still pressed together. The only motion is our breaths and the pulsing of him deep in my stomach. After his balls stop seizing and his breathing becomes even, he pulls away from me enough to share my gaze. We seem to come to the same conclusion. His pale blue eyes are alight with winter embers, flickering with the emotions a broken man has long since sealed away. I find secrets and words I'm unsure he's ready to say, and a part of me wonders if he reads the same sad lines in my gaze, too. I love you. I shouldn't, but I do. 32. Nell. Bradshaw draws out the map from memory on the tile floor with a marker. He circles our location and taps where the ghost's headquarters is.
It's a day and a half walk from the bunker we're at now. If we keep close to the ridgeline of the western mountain that follows near the remaining bunkers, we can keep an eye out for Aaron and the rest of Malum.
I nod, but worry sits cumbersomely on my chest. What if they attack me? I'm not so sure Aaron will be willing to talk. Bradshaw leans in close and smooths his hand over mine. I meet his gaze.
They won't. Aaron won't tell them about his order to get rid of you. He'd never share the details of his shady side dealings.
Don't you worry about what he's not telling you? I query. He shakes his head as his brows knit.
No. If it's important, I already know about it. Anyway, you don't need to worry. I trust my brother.
Well, that doesn't make me feel better. I doubt Aaron tells him everything necessary. It's sad how ignorant to corruption we all are when we care about a person. I never noticed how cold-hearted Jenkins truly was, not when I was by his side. You're betting my life on that? I think he wants me dead no matter what. Bradshaw lets out a breath.
Have faith in me.
I roll my eyes, like I have any other choice. You know the way in once we find their headquarters, right? Bradshaw shakes his head, and I groan, adding, we can figure it out when we get there. I'm more worried about Aaron than a security system to break. He stares at the map for a few seconds before nodding and muttering,
yeah, me too.
The uniforms dry by nightfall. We're dressed with masks pulled over our faces, ready to re-enter the cold world above. My lungs are filled with fire. Who is targeting the dark forces? Aaron knows, yet he won't even tell Bradshaw. It unsettles me that Aaron knew how lethal I was. If he genuinely knew about my hand in Abram's death all along, why would he put me as Bradshaw's second? I mull over those thoughts while Bradshaw tightens his vest, and he finally gives the signal for move out. He starts to climb the ladder. I grab a step and start to haul myself up behind him.
Boom!
The ground shakes, and the fluorescent lights switch to red before we can even react to the aftershocks. Bradshaw looks over his shoulder at me and makes the hand signal for fall back. I hold my M16 tightly across my chest and duck behind the bathroom door. Bradshaw is a second behind me and takes the other side of the door. We both watch the bunker hatch, guns raised and ready. I focus, listening for any footsteps, but there are too many to determine how many people are up there. It's an ambush. The ghosts know we're down here. Fuck!
Here they come,
Bradshaw mutters as he pulls the pin to a flash grenade with his teeth. He times it perfectly, boots hitting the ground just as he tosses it. I shut my eyes against the flash of white. The second the light goes out, I set my gun down and unsheathe my combat blade.
Bunny, use your M16.
Bradshaw hisses at me, but the weight of his words is lost as two soldiers rush into the bathroom. They were expecting us to be behind the door, but not from so low. I don't wait to see who it is, and my blade is thrusting up before the man has any clue who he's fucking with. The soldier notices at the last second and blocks my blade from being buried in his gut. I twist my hold on the handle to keep him from knocking it out of my hand with his counterblow. The butt of his gun hits my forearms. Pain crackles through my bones, and I gnash my teeth at the ferocity this man fights with. They have specialized training, but their goal is obviously to detain us. I can tell he's trying not to kill me. Big mistake on their part. I sweep my leg across his feet and he hits the ground hard. His gun fires and shatters the mirrors. Shit, we're in a metal box. Loose bullets will be a problem if they ricochet. My eyes flick to Bradshaw. He is wrestling a soldier to the ground and both their guns are 2 feet away from them. More voices sound from the other room. If we can't get control in the next few seconds, we're fucked. His uniform looks familiar. It takes me by surprise. He takes advantage of my pause and grips my face mask. He rips it off, stinging the back of my ears. I clutch my knife and tear it behind the soldier's knees, severing the tendons. His legs go limp, and he screams in pain. I take the chance his hysteria brings and go for his throat. My blade glides smoothly across his soft flesh, and his pupils enlarge with the endorphins. His body slacks instantly to the side. I grab my M16 and put 3 bullets into the soldier beneath Bradshaw just as he snaps his neck.
I had him.
Bradshaw glares at me, but I ignore him and kick him his gun. His mask was torn off in the scuffle, his bottom lip bleeding. He picks it up and stands in one fluid motion.
Night vision,
he orders, knocking his goggles down over his eyes and shooting out the lights above us. I pull mine down, too. Going dark is the best option we have. I shoot the ones in the main area, and the bunker goes pitch black. The backup soldiers must have returned up the ladder because the room is empty. Shit. The hatch is open, and I'd bet money they're waiting for us up there. We can't stay holed up in here forever. All they have to do is wait for reinforcements. Bradshaw grips my wrist, and I hesitantly look at him. He signals for me to follow him. He leads us to the cabinets and opens one door, motioning for me to get in. He pulls his goggles up and raises an implying brow. I shoot him a look that says, "Are you crazy?" But he just flattens his eyes more at me. God damn it. I crawl inside and he makes his way in beside me. Great. Now what? I breathe uneasily. The space is cramped, and although I can see with my night vision, my stomach curls uneasily with our predicament. Bradshaw gives me a shit-eating grin and pushes on the inner wall of the cabinet. The thin board slides out of place, revealing a narrow tunnel that likely leads somewhere outside.
Did you think Aaron would plan on having our squad stay in a bunker with only one way in and out? I thought you were a bunny. That's like rule number one for animals, isn't it?
He laughs, and I can't help but smile at his cocky comment. I nudge him. Let's get the fuck out of here. He takes the lead, crawling on his hands and knees with his gun slung over his back. I slip inside the damp tunnel and close the board behind us in case the soldiers think to check the cabinets. The air in here is earthy and thick with moisture. The walls grow tight around us as we crawl, and when Bradshaw turns to check on me for a second, I don't see him. I see Jenkins. He reaches his hand out for me. That's right. I've been in a tight place like this before.
You can die anywhere, Gallows, but you don't want to die in a hole. So get the fuck out. Save the panic attack for after you're out.
I smile. He was an asshole, yet his words are what I need to keep going. It can't be more than a few minutes, but it feels so much longer before we see moonlight dripping through an exit. Bradshaw stops and listens for several minutes to gauge where the hostels are. I can't hear anything above my pulse hammering in my ears. Bradshaw moves thoughtfully, quietly pushing through branches and exiting the tunnel. I wait for his signal. A second later, he dips his hand back inside and beckons me to follow. Relief overcomes me as I hurry out of the tight space. Once I'm out, I move beside Bradshaw and we walk carefully through the underbrush. I'm facing a wall of trees. There's no sign of hostels, but I'm not letting my guard down now that they know we're out here. We find cover half a click east and crouch low to regroup and determine our backup plan. I keep my hand curled tightly around my knife. It's already slick with blood, parts of the handle sticking to my glove as it dries. Bradshaw checks his gear and points northeast.
That way. We're going to push until we hit the ridgeline and can find cover.
His voice is low and firm. I clutch my knife tighter. Did you see their uniforms? My throat is raw from the fight, and I sound scared. I am scared. Bradshaw's concerned expression tells me everything. He nods. My hand trembles. And what did you see? He stares at me briefly before muttering.
It was the Hades squad.
He hangs his head and shakes it. I thought so. I scan the forest warily for them. What the fuck are they doing? We are here to save them, aren't we? Bones, what does this mean? I bring my focus back to him. He lets his hands hang off his knees before lifting his head up.
It means we're fucked. If Hades is a part of this rogue operation, then who's to say who else is? This is bad. Really fucking bad.
Bradshaw sounds uneasy. Nervous. And I've never known him to be nervous. Focus. Let's get out of here before they hunt us down. I tug on his arm and he stands, but his will to fight seems to have fled his spirit.
God, this is so fucked up,
he chokes out. He clasps his hands around his head and his shoulders tremble. Fuck, don't tell me he's having an episode. I smack his cheeks to see how together he has it, and his head tilts, lagging to correct. God damn it! Bones! Hey, look at me! Bones! I whisper shout, but his body starts to slump against me. No, no, no. What am I supposed to do? Snap. My head jerks to the left in the direction of the tunnel and spot three soldiers slowly sweeping the area for us. This couldn't be a worse situation. My chest clamors and my mind whirls. Leave him. Run. My instincts have my legs twitching, but I refuse to leave him vulnerable like this. It looks like this is where our mission together ends. Find Aaron, I whisper against his parted lips. I kiss him gently before rolling him under the thickest part of the underbrush. I army crawl far enough before I'm ready to draw attention away from him. This is suicide. I stand and take off sprinting through the trees. Small branches and twigs smack loudly against my gear, and a sharp shout rolls through the air behind me. Good. They'll follow me. I take off toward the river and ignore the shots they fire at me. I'll get them as far away from Bradshaw as I can, and then I'll take care of them. I slide on the beach sand and roll to my stomach, facing the pursuers, M16 aimed at the top of the riverbank. The first soldier that runs over the edge gets a bullet in his neck, and the force of it sends him flying to his back. He squirms and covers his throat. Two more rise over the bank, and I fire at the one to the left. Miss. Shit. He shoots back and hits my shoulder. The impact alone takes my breath away, but I grit my teeth and shoot a second time. This time, I hit him right in the dick. He screams and falls, rolling down the slope and crying like a fucking baby. I smile against the pain that blooms across my shoulder. The third soldier is on me by the time I face him. He has his knife unsheathed and goes for a thigh stab. I roll in time so he only nicks my calf, but the blood still pours from the wound instantly.
"Fuck you, bitch! You killed my partner!"
He stabs at me again, and this time he lodges it in my forearm. I scream at the pain and muster all my strength to strike him across the head with my gun. He's a tough motherfucker. He doesn't even flinch as blood gushes from the gash above his left eye. He grabs my arm with his knife sticking out of it and pounds it against the ground until I drop my M16. A guttural scream rips from my throat, and tears spring to my eyes, but I refuse to give up. I'll kill this asshole and anyone else who comes for us. I buck my hips as hard as I can and send him flying over my head. I roll to my side and unhitch my pistol from its holster. Bang, bang, bang. I shoot him at point-blank range in his chest, but he's still coming. Bulletproof vest. High grade, too. Fuck! I choke out as his hands come around my throat and he pins me against the sand. His grip leaves no air, no hope of finding breath without knocking him off of me. I gnash my teeth together and grab the knife that's still lodged between my radial and ulnar bone. 1, 2, 3. I brace myself and pull the knife from my flesh, cutting his throat all the way to the bone with the same singular motion. His body spasms violently and then slacks. He gurgles blood all over me. Fuck you! Fuck you! I scream at him as his eyes start to widen with death. I bury the knife between his collarbone and neck 5 times until it's mushy. His blood spills over my chest and neck. I stagger to my feet and take a few labored breaths. The cold mountain air makes all the blood spilled on the sand steam in plumes. My entire body trembles with adrenaline. The pain spreads with each breath I take. I know if I can't stop the bleeding, I'll be dead in 20 minutes. Gasps and groans bring my mind out of its fog. I look slowly up and stare hollowly at the last 2 breathing soldiers. I limp to the closest one. He's still holding his throat and trying to keep himself from bleeding out. I bury my knife deep into his chest. He convulses and chokes on his own blood before going still. For some reason, I think of Jenkins as I jerk the blade from the soldier's lungs. He loved killing this closely. Loved making me do it too. I did anything he wanted me to, even if I hated it. And I do hate killing this sloppily. That leaves only 1 man left. I look over at him, holding his dick and still crying about it. He sees me coming and tries to flee, but I keep my limping stride steady. I reach him and tear off his helmet and mask. A scared man stares at me. He shakes uncontrollably. I keep my tone as smooth as I can. "Are you going to tell me anything, or am I wasting my time?" I lift my blade and he gasps, tears and snot mixing down his chin. His eyes trail over to his comrades, the ones I fucking butchered. He shakes his head, eyes hardening.
"Kill me."
"Done," I chirp, twisting the blade in my hand for the killing blow. A sharp knife caresses my throat, giving me pause.
"Drop it."
A deep voice seeps into my spine. Jenkins taught me how to escape this very situation, although I'm fuzzy now with the blood loss. I breathe and slowly lower my arm as if to drop my weapon. Then I throw my head back against the man's face and grip the sharp part of his blade so it's not against my throat. My helmet strap is cut and flies off in the attack. Blood spurts from my glove and my fingers go limp. Shit. Adrenaline keeps me moving. I reach for my pistol, but the soldier already has his pressed against my forehead. I breathe like a wild animal who's just run out of options. My chest rises and falls over and over with great burden. I expect him to pull the trigger already, so I slowly look up at him. His black mask covers the majority of his face. But those eyes, they're practically black as they bore into me vehemently. I shudder, but hold his stare.
Always look them in the eye. Show them you aren't afraid to die,
Jenkins told me many times. I do my best to follow his words. The soldier stands silently for a long time. I'm starting to feel dizzy, and my head bobs a few times before he pulls his gun a few inches away.
Who are you?
He asks. I don't move a muscle. I just continue to stare at him, waiting patiently for the bullet in my head. He lets a sharp breath push between his teeth as he lowers to my level and studies my face, letting his eyes linger on my scars and neck tattoo. I lower my chin, but he grips my jaw tightly and forces me to look at him. He holds my face like this for a moment, his gun to the side of my head. He clicks on his headset and mutters,
"It's her."
He doesn't get to say anything else before a bullet flies straight between his eyes. His head is thrown back, and I stare down at his lifeless body. Who was he reporting to? 33. Nell. Bradshaw stumbles to my side and bends at his knee, looking over at the dead soldiers. He looks confused, but clearer now. His eyes aren't distant anymore.
Buddy, are you okay?
When I don't respond, he manually searches my body for wounds and pauses each time he finds my flesh bleeding profusely. He swallows as he curls my sliced hand into itself with a cloth between my fingers to staunch the bleeding. He immediately moves to my forearm next. He said, "It's her," to someone. I look Bradshaw in the eyes and search for secrets he might be harboring. Who was he talking to? Bradshaw's eyes harden, and his lack of response makes me twist in his hold as he tourniquets my arm at the elbow and wraps the stab wound tightly. My eyes narrow in agony, and I try to stay focused. Who? I demand.
Bun, I don't think.
Why is he keeping this from me? If he knows who the leader of the ghosts is, why didn't he just fucking tell me? My heart hammers with the emotions. Tell me now, or I'll blow your brains out, I say in a low, threatening tone, and press the head of my handgun to the bottom of his throat. He doesn't even blink.
No,
he says calmly, and presses his forehead to mine, stealing a kiss and staring into my eyes, pleading silently for me to stop.
If you're going to kill me, then do it. It's not as easy as you'd think.
Click. His eyes widen, and I whisper softly against his lips. Boom. He smacks the empty gun out of my hand and glares at me. Horror spreads over his features.
Did you know it was empty? Fuck, Bunny, you make me so goddamn crazy.
He grips my jaw hard, hand trembling. He shakes his head before resuming damage control on my body. He works on my shoulder next. I'm lucky it was just a clean flesh shot. Why won't you tell me? My thoughts trail back to Aaron. He's still protecting his brother. Is it Aaron? My stomach sinks. Bradshaw keeps his brows pinched as he works on me. I guess he really won't tell me. Of course I knew it was empty. I can keep my head even when I'm at my limit. Are you okay? You completely unplugged earlier. You're welcome, by the way, for saving your ass. I shove his chest. He ignores me as he finishes with my shoulder.
I'm okay.